Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. Good to be with you. I had to take yesterday off. We're back today. Generally with you Monday through Thursday. If you miss anything from the live YouTube show, we break it all down, condense it, take out the breaks, any hiccups that may occur technically. And then we put it right back up on the podcast version of the show, courtesy of Believe, B-L-E-A-V, for all of your podcasting needs on the, especially on the sports front. They got a zillion podcasts. So you can go and check that out. So it's good to be with you today. A lot to talk about over the next 60 minutes of this podcast. You could always interact with us on Twitter, at the back page. If you've got something you want to say to me, you could say it there. At the back page, if you're looking for me on Twitter. You could also just send us a note in the chat box that we have up during the show. Makes it easy. You just put it right there in YouTube, and it's there for you, and I'll see it. And if you say something worthwhile, I'll talk about it. Coming up in this 60-minute edition of the show, a lot from the NBA, and not something that I'm necessarily thrilled to talk about, but it almost feels like this WWE mentality that's taking place right now when it comes to ESPN and the way it covers sports. I'll explain. John Wall making some business decisions in terms of where he's going to play his basketball in the 2022-2023 season. We'll talk about that some. Russell Westbrook doing the same. Kyrie Irving doing the same. A lot happened in the last 48 hours. We'll get into that. NFL, the Deshaun Watson situation continues to evolve. And it will do so over the next couple of days. So if you don't like where this story is going, stay tuned. It'll change in the next couple of days. His arbitration hearing in terms of what the suspension from the NFL is going to look like. The NFL is making it known what they want to happen to Watson. We'll talk about it. Trevor Lawrence, he was the top pick in last year's NFL draft. Went on to have a kind of rookie season with the Jaguars. And I saw a headline on Tuesday night, and maybe I will overreact to it. But I'll explain why I'm overreacting to it coming up in a few minutes. Aaron Judge, you want to be careful. Betting on yourself sounds great when you got big numbers. But as one headline that's popped up this week in baseball can show us, all it takes is one pitch. And no matter what numbers you're putting up, the idea of betting on yourself could turn into a bad idea. Anything passes for entertainment. We'll finish the show with that as we get started here today with Serena Williams, who made her return 1 year after having to retire because of injury at Wimbledon. And then she just disappeared. Did the whole motherhood thing. Took a year off. Didn't play any tennis. Certainly didn't play any competitive tennis. Nothing on the WTA tour. None of the majors. Nothing. Just said, I'm done. She's 40 years old. She came back to play as a wild card at Wimbledon. And she lost her opening round match to Harmony Tan. Now, I was having a debate with a friend of mine yesterday, and he was saying, oh, this is terrible. She's never going to win another major. For her, it's about winning the majors. There wasn't anything about her post-match press conference that told me this is about getting to number 24 and Margaret Court. Nothing. This was about Serena Williams not wanting her final memory at the All England Club to be her limping off the court, limping off those grass courts, wondering what could have been. That's what it was. And I give Serena all the credit in the world for getting out there, putting herself out there, and putting herself in a position where she was vulnerable. Now, some could argue whether or not it was smart of her to go and try and play Wimbledon without any practice, any warm-up tournament. I know she played a little bit of doubles. But in general, this was her going out there kind of willy-nilly without any practice. And some might argue, hey, that's disrespectful to some of the other talented players. And maybe disrespectful to a Harmony Tan, who was able to beat her yesterday in three sets, the third set a tiebreaker, 10-7 in that tiebreaker. They now play tiebreakers that go to 10 points, as opposed to the days when they went to 7. Wimbledon didn't used to have tiebreakers in the third set or in the final set. Now they do. But I look at what Serena did yesterday, and I watched the match pretty much from start to finish. Serena could still play at a high level. This wasn't Serena losing because she's over the hill and can't compete with the top players in the world anymore. Granted, Harmony Tan, I think, is ranked 90th in the world. Which, while that sounds good in golf and tennis, it's not that good. But she lost to a 24-year-old upstart. Biggest win of Harmony Tan's career. But for Serena Williams to go out there yesterday and compete the way she did, a marathon three-set match over 3 hours, which in the women's game is a long match. One game in particular taking 20 minutes. She won that game, by the way, in the second set. En route to a rout in the second set. Is Serena Williams still better than Harmony Tan? Absolutely. Anybody who watched this match yesterday knows that. There were times where Serena looked off balance. There were times where she had some mishits. There were some times where she looked indecisive at the baseline. She played very well at the net. She still has a huge serve, which is always going to be a good weapon for her, as Patrick McEnroe alluded to on the podcast last week and on the show last week. But she needs to play more. And I think if Serena makes the commitment and decides she's going to play the U.S. Open later on this summer, I think she's a threat. But she's going to have to play some tune-up tournaments. And I don't know if she wants to do that. I don't know if she wants to put in that commitment. It almost feels like, in some regards, and for completely different reasons, that she's almost in the Tiger Woods phase of her career, where you're going to see Woods pop up at the majors here and there. Maybe he'll play Jack's tournament. Maybe he'll play his own tournament, the Genesis Invitational. But Tiger Woods doesn't want to play the week-in, week-out grind of the PGA Tour, and who could blame him? He's playing on one leg. And for Serena, I don't know if she wants to play, you know, the Kraft Foods Open in Wabash, Wisconsin or whatever. I don't think she wants to play those events. I think she feels like she could go out on the practice courts, get in the work she needs, and then show up to these majors and be competitive. And she can't. She's going to have to get out on the court and play in some of these tune-up events and try to get that competitive rust off. Because yesterday, I didn't walk away from that saying, she needs to hang it up, she needs to retire. I walked away saying, I want to see more. I want to see Serena out there make a run into deeper into these events. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. Yesterday, to me, if she had won that match, anything else would have been gravy. That match yesterday felt like a championship match for Serena Williams. It felt like the finals at Wimbledon. The atmosphere inside the center court that had the roof closed on it. That felt like a championship match. With everybody hanging on every shot. Serena fighting off match points. And I say this as somebody that, while I've always appreciated the talent that is Serena Williams and think she's one of the greatest athletes of all time, not one of the greatest tennis players of all time, not one of the greatest female tennis players of all time, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And to see her moving around the court the way she did at the age of 40, despite not having played for a year, I was in awe. I've never been so riveted to an opening round Serena Williams match in my life. I was openly rooting for her. Everybody loves an underdog story. And as crazy as it sounds for somebody with 23 Grand Slam tournaments under her belt as a singles player to call her an underdog story, that's what she is at this stage of her career. Just as Tiger Woods was when he went and won the Masters a couple of years back. Despite all his success at having the second most majors of all time in golf, Tiger Woods was an underdog story. And everybody was rooting for him. Even guys that may not have previously liked him or rooted for him were rooting for him. And I think Serena, if she decides to play, and she has not made the commitment that she's going to play Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, rather, this year. But if she makes the decision to play Wimbledon, rather the U.S. Open, I keep getting hung up on my majors here. If she decides to play the U.S. Open this year, she's going to be the fan favorite of everybody, especially with that final major taking place in New York, in the United States. She's going to be the fan favorite in every match. And don't discount what that could mean. So Serena falls yesterday, and now sadly I can go back to not caring about the rest of the women's side of the U.S. Open. I am curious to see what happens on the men's side. Rafa Nadal won yesterday in four sets, and to me, that's still, as of right now, that's one of the great sports stories of this year so far. I mean, we're halfway through the year. The Tiger Woods story, or the Rafa Nadal story, is one of the great stories of this year. He's won the first two majors. And we're talking about a guy that's way closer to the end of his career than the beginning of it. And while Roger Federer is pretty much in semi-retirement right now and not playing, and Novak Djokovic is trying to kind of get things figured out after having to take so much time off because he didn't want to get vaccinated, couldn't play in the U.S. Open, or rather the Australian Open, had to miss a bunch of tournaments, couldn't play out here at the BNP Paribas. Rafa Nadal's racked up the first two majors, the first two Grand Slam events of the tennis season. He's halfway to the Grand Slam. And hey, Google, how old is Rafa Nadal? He's 36, asked my producer, Google. At 36, this is what Rafa Nadal is doing. So that's the next great story to watch to me at Wimbledon. Also Andy Murray, who is trying to put together one more run at the end of his career. And of course, Novak Djokovic is always going to make for a fascinating story as well. As one of the greatest of all time, trying to now catch up to Rafa Nadal, who has the most slams. It used to be everybody trying to catch Roger Federer. Now it's everybody trying to catch Rafa Nadal. And you wonder if the Nadal thing does sort of push Federer to try and make one more run. He doesn't strike me as the type, though, that would be hung up on the history. Nadal says he's not, but all of these guys say that. When you know deep down, the history has to mean something if you've played for this long. So that's what's going on at Wimbledon. Coming up in this show, we will do some NFL talk. I haven't done a ton of NFL talk. A potential blockbuster deal in the NFL. In fact, we might already know it to be true because one NFL team was selling the uniform of a player that they don't even have on their roster yet. It's a true story. One NFL team accidentally put in their team store the jersey of one of the guys who's not even on their team. We'll get into that. We'll get into the Deshaun Watson mess. I got some thoughts on Trevor Lawrence that I want to get into. But as we continue with this Wednesday edition of Don't Mind Me here on YouTube and also courtesy of our friends on the Believe Podcast Network, some NBA talk and one story that should make everybody uncomfortable in the NBA. We get to that as we continue. Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. Stay with us. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday edition of Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. We do the show Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. We do the podcast for you as well. If you miss the live show on YouTube, you can go back and watch the show on YouTube on our Decibel 88 channel. But you could also, you can also just go and get the podcast. Simple as that. Check out the Don't Mind Me podcast courtesy of Believe. We put it up every day. Couple hours after the show, it's usually available for you to check out and listen to. The latest on LIV Golf coming up. Also, some football talk that I want to get into, including one potential huge blockbuster deal. We'll get into that. But I want to get into the NBA a little bit. And this is an uncomfortable subject. It's current player on former player crime. Or the other way around, depending on which side you're taking. Or it's ESPN personality going after NBA players. But both of these stories originate with ESPN personalities. And we've gotten to a point where these lines have become so blurred in what is acceptable behavior from analysts, journalists, whatever you want to call people like Stephen A. Smith or Kendrick Perkins. Now, Kendrick Perkins has never had an issue taking issue with Draymond Green. He's been critical of him. But he's done it in sort of a loving way, saying, hey, you're better than this, that sort of thing, while criticizing him, but also trying to say, I'm criticizing him because I think he's really good. Well, Draymond Green recently didn't take too kindly to the barbs from Kendrick Perkins and said this that definitely got Perk up in arms.
You were exactly who I thought you were. Kendrick Perkins, you act like this clown, and it's baffling to me. He could never be you. You know why he could never be you? Because he never...
He's referring to Kendrick Perkins behaving like Skip Bayless, by the way.
Done it. You go up here acting like him. You don't have to do that, buddy. You played. You did it. Go talk about it. Or can you not? I'd hope that you can. With all these hot takes you make, you should be able to. You don't have to act like that, my man. You don't have to go up there. You go from being enforcer to coon. How does that happen?
And yikes. Called the man the C word. And that did not sit well with Kendrick Perkins. And I can't say I blame him. I mean, a fellow African-American calling you the C word? And Kendrick Perkins went off in his own video and would later pull it down. But the problem is, once you put something up on the internet, it never really goes away.
Hey, Draymond, you good? The fuck wrong with you? Didn't you just win your fourth championship? What the fuck you worried about me for? What, you mad? You mad because I'm doing it my way and it's happened to work? I'm doing it my way. I ain't got to do it your way. I'm doing it my way. But look, forget the old media. Forget the new media. I'm going to stand by the old law, right? And the old law says, hey, man, all that disrespect and all that hoe shit, calling somebody a coon, man, you got me fucked up. Ain't nothing a coon about me. Ain't no cooning. Ain't none of that. Straight up. And here's the thing, right? We all know, dog. We all know. You all barking no bite. We know this. The NBA brothers know this. A lot of them that's talking behind you, behind your back with the whispers, they know this. They know you not gonna do nothing. This is proven. This is facts. We know that. So, one, stop with all the tough talk. You can talk about me as an ESPN analyst. You could talk about my takes. You could talk about everything you want to do. I don't give a fuck about that. But what you not going to do is, you not going to disrespect me and call me no motherfucking coon. And I'm going to stand on that. You talk about standing on something, I'm standing on that. That's what I'm not going to be, especially by you, when we all know you not going to do nothing. Let me try that wink again. You not going to do nothing. And we know that. It's proven. We know that. We know you ain't gonna bust a grape in a fruit fight. We know you ain't gonna pour milk on cereal. We know you ain't gonna listen to it go snap, crackle, or pop. We know that. But that coon and shit, man, you got me fucked up. We can keep it entertainment. We can keep it ESPN. You can whatever you want to do. But we ain't doing that coon shit, homeboy. Real talk. Carry on.
Well, somebody must have gotten to Kendrick and said, you know what? This ain't the greatest way to represent ESPN. You got to take it down. And that's what he did. He took down the video. But the problem is the video is everywhere. So everybody's just been playing it. But this leads to a bigger problem. And we're seeing it not just with Kendrick Perkins and Draymond Green. We're seeing it with Stephen A. Smith and Kyrie Irving. And they're calling each other out. And Kyrie's saying, let's go one-on-one. Let's talk. You wouldn't say this stuff to my face. And we see it with Russell Westbrook and Skip Bayless. And this WWE mentality in sports media today. And ESPN's allowing it to happen. This company that was so protective of its brand, Disney the Mouse. I worked for ESPN. I've been associated with ESPN. I know the way they behave there. I know the way they used to behave there. But the only thing missing right now is guys getting thrown off the ropes and jumping off the top turnbuckle. Because everything now is geared towards clicks and likes and watches. And if Stephen A. Smith gets into a brouhaha with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving snipes back, and now we could try to set up that one-on-one interview between the two, and everybody's going to watch because they're all going to want to see what happens when these two get together. So from the ESPN standpoint, I don't understand how they think this is good for business. And by the way, I don't disagree with anything that Kendrick Perkins said. If you want to go after him for his takes and your Draymond Green, fine. Why are you calling him the C word? Why would you do that? And then I turn it back to the teams like the Golden State Warriors. Is this the image you want to portray? I get that all these athletes today want to be part of the media. They want to be able to create their own narrative, write their own story, cut out the middleman, which is, you know, places like ESPN, places like Fox Sports or NBC or CBS. They want to cut them all out and send and just get their message out unvarnished. But there's a reason people have the media, because it's the professional, polished look, taste, feel, speak. Because when you just say to Draymond Green, hey, go. What you're going to get is him calling Kendrick Perkins the C word. Because there's no filter. And the media, used to at least, have a filter. But all these lines have been blurred now. Stephen A. Smith was a damn good journalist. And then they started giving him talk shows to host. And now, excuse me, now he's still a reporter. Stephen A. is still a reporter, but he's asked to give opinions on everything and host talk shows where your job is to do what I'm doing here and give opinions. And the problem with that is you can't be both. If you want to be a reporter, be a reporter. There used to be a time when reporters just came on during interviews, answered questions, didn't give any opinions, gave you the facts, gave you some background, and they were done. Now it's reporters as talk show hosts and opinion makers, and that doesn't work. And I don't even know if there's a way to put that genie back in the bottle, but that's the problem. There was a time in my life where I was a news anchor and a news reporter. And even briefly, a sports reporter. And I always knew what I wanted to do was to be a talk show host, be able to give my opinions, because I just always had tons of opinions. So I set aside the sports journalist idea, and I became a talk show host. You're not coming on here to get in-depth reporting. You're coming on here, if you're watching me or listening to me, to get my opinions. And if Stephen A. Smith wants to be the opinion guy and take shots at Kyrie Irving or any other athlete, then go ahead and do that. You know, say what you want about Skip Bayless and the whole Russell Westbrook thing. And I think, you know, the way he's sort of just turned into this professional troll is disgusting. And the fact that Fox Sports makes a killing off it is even worse. But fine. He's made it clear he is a talk show host. He is no longer a journalist. At one time he was. He is not anymore. Stephen A. Smith is still playing both sides of the fence. He's both a journalist and an opinion guy. You can't be both. You want to bring him on? Bring him on as talk show host Stephen A. Smith. He's not a journalist. He's not a reporter anymore. There's so much bias in what he says. You cannot possibly rely on him to be an independent reporter. He's got too many opinions for that, and he's made them known. And that in its very essence means he cannot be a journalist. He cannot be a reporter. So stop with this crap of ESPN reporter Stephen A. Smith. He's not. And I'm not saying he can't be a talk show host or take him off the air or any of that stuff, even though his shtick isn't for me, does nothing for me. I don't think he's particularly talented. I think he's just loud. I think he's loud and obnoxious. I don't think he has any particular hot take or smart take. I thought he was a good reporter. I don't think he's a particularly great talk show host. But the reality is, be one or the other. And if you're ESPN, what happened to the days of protecting your brand? Doesn't seem like you give much of a bleep about it right now. John Wall is signing with the Clippers. John Wall is signing with the Clippers for the mid-level exemption. He's playing, I think he's played about 100 games over the last five seasons. He's missed about 270 games over the last five seasons. Who knows what they're getting in him? I love the idea of taking a flyer on him, though. At 32, I think. 31. I think it'll be 32 when the next NBA season starts. I have no problem with that move. You're not paying him a ton of money. You can cut your losses if it doesn't work out. Who knows what he has left in the tank when you've barely seen him over the last 5 years. Maybe he's got one more run in him. I think that's a great move for the Clippers. Russell Westbrook is staying put. I think he's getting like 43 million reasons to do it. he opts into his deal with the Lakers. They're still obviously going to try to move him. Whether they do or not, we'll have to see. Kyrie Irving decided to stay put, and the reason for that wasn't, I want to come back and try to move forward with Kevin Durant. The reason was you couldn't get a deal because nobody wants you, because you weren't on the court last season, because you were selfish, because you put yourself ahead of your team. Simple as that. This is the simplest thing in the world, and Kyrie thinks we're all a bunch of idiots that believe he wants to stay in Brooklyn for another year and try to win a title with the Nets. And right now, as that team is composed, it's not winning anything next year. We're going to be right back in the same position next offseason with Kyrie likely going somewhere else. The only good news for Kyrie is he's got 1 year to try and pretend he's a professional athlete and somebody who's dedicated to his craft, and could go out there and play, I don't know, 70 of 82 games, or even 65 NBA games next year, regular season, and earn himself one more big payday from another team dumb enough to sign him. Because once he gets that big payday again, you have no idea what you're going to get from Kyrie Irving. Plain and simple. There were a couple of NBA coaching signings since we last talked to you. The Celtics have a new head coach. This is not surprising. I mean, not the Celtics, sorry. The Jazz have a new head coach. They go and get Celtics assistant Will Hardy. So he's the new head coach of the Jazz. He looks like he's 12 years old. Good luck. Maybe he'll be great. I don't know what he's going to have there to coach, because I don't know if anybody knows what's going on with Donovan Mitchell right now. But as of right now, still has a pretty talented team. Certainly a team that'll be a playoff team next season as currently constructed. And then Steve Clifford goes back to the Hornets. It's the old Billy Martin. Steve Clifford gets another opportunity to coach the Hornets. I think that was the last time they made the postseason was when he was there. Interesting times in the NBA. All right, quick break. I got to get into some football. A few big stories making news. And one quarterback I'm going to take to task. One young quarterback I'm going to take to task. The risks for Aaron Judge, LIV Golf, PGA Tour. A lot to get to as we continue. I'm Jason Page. Stay with us. Lots more to do on this Wednesday edition. Don't mind me. All right, good to be with you on this Wednesday edition. Don't mind me. I'm Jason Page. If you miss any of the show, you can get the podcast courtesy of Believe, where you might be listening right now, in which case you haven't missed the show. We do it live on YouTube, Monday through Thursday, from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. By the way, I want to apologize. I burped into the microphone in the last segment. I'm drinking some kombucha that I love to ingest as I do the show. You know, the probiotics, all that stuff. And I drink it throughout the course of the show. So I let out a little burp while I was talking. Hopefully it didn't smell. So anyway, I got to get to Aaron Judge and the risks of what he is doing right now with betting on himself. We'll talk about that coming up in a couple of minutes. Also, what the PGA Tour defectors were saying yesterday as they prepare to tee off at the LIV Golf event, the first one held in the United States, Portland, Oregon, Pumpkin Ridge. That starts on Thursday, 3-day event, no cut, 54 holes, team event intertwined in it, shotgun starts, the whole thing. We'll get into what some of the guys are saying about that. Some NFL stuff I want to get into. First of all, don't believe everything you see on the internet. Yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks, people thought, had accidentally released an image of a Baker Mayfield jersey in their team store, leading people to believe they were about to trade for Baker Mayfield, now with the Cleveland Browns. It was all a ruse. Somebody got creative, was able to make it look like it was the Seahawks team store. It was not. It was a con. Don't believe everything you see on the internet. But there is talk about a Baker Mayfield to Seattle deal, especially with everything going on in Cleveland right now. That has to be somewhat up in the air because they may look to Baker Mayfield to be their quarterback for this year, or do they make a deal elsewhere? But there is talk of Mayfield to Seattle. And then what does that mean for Cleveland's quarterback situation if Mayfield goes to Seattle? If that situation is as irreconcilable as everybody thinks it is, does that mean Jimmy Garoppolo has a home in Cleveland? Certainly does. Get ready for the Trey Lance era, which I still have to admit is a risky play if you're the 49ers. You were one drive away from the Super Bowl last year with Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. Now you're going to put the ball in the hands of Trey Lance. Again, if you've made the determination that the furthest you can get with Jimmy Garoppolo is where you've already been, then you have to make that move. I get it. But NFC championship losses are a lot better than not making the playoffs at all. And you might have to take a step backwards for a year or two or longer if Trey Lance is your answer. But you don't know unless you put him out there as well. But whether or not Mayfield winds up leaving is obviously a source of conversation. What is also a source of conversation, though, is what is taking place right now with Deshaun Watson. The disciplinary hearing was adjourned on Tuesday. It's set to resume on Wednesday. Could take another couple of days, but the NFL is making it known. They want him indefinitely suspended at least for one season. I mean, that's as tough as it gets. And you can't look backwards. A lot of times in these situations, even as unevenly as the NFL has dispensed justice over the years, there was at least something you can look at. There was at least something you could look at to give you an indication of where the league might go with a suspension. But now, it's all in the hands of an arbitrator, which in the past, it was not. It was in the hands of Roger Goodell, who's been neutered even further. He doesn't even have control of these sorts of player discipline issues. It's in front of arbitrator Sue L. Robinson. Hearing began on Tuesday, about 9 a.m., concluded about 5:30 p.m. Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, was handling the matter. And barring some sort of settlement, there's going to be briefs filed, and then it's going to take weeks for a final decision, which puts the Cleveland Browns in limbo, which means they have to make a move for a quarterback, assuming they're going to be without Deshaun Watson for at least several games. It could wind up being the entire season. The league wants to avoid appeals. It's not good for the Cleveland Browns, who looked like they were on the verge of turning the corner. This franchise looked like it was finally getting it together. They made the playoffs with Baker Mayfield. They had, you know, a great running game. Nick Chubb. I mean, everything looked like it was going in the right direction. Now you don't know who's playing quarterback for you next year. You might trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Odell Beckham's winning Super Bowls in Los Angeles with the Rams. It's just a nightmare for the Cleveland Browns and their fans. Just when you felt like you were going somewhere, Lucy pulled the football away and you were Charlie Brown on your ass. It'll be interesting to see what happens. 24 plaintiffs in that Watson case. He settled civil lawsuits with 20 of them. And again, an innocent man ain't settling 20 civil lawsuits. Was he criminally charged? No. But it doesn't mean that Deshaun Watson didn't do something untoward that negatively impacts the image of the NFL, and they're going to take action. But the NFL Players Association also looks at how some owners have been treated by the league when it comes to discipline. The Jerry Jones, the Bob Crafts, the Daniel Snyders of the world, and they sit there and say, well, how are you going to suspend this guy for a year? He didn't even get charged with anything. It's both sides of it. I want my quarterbacks, especially my young quarterbacks, I want my young quarterbacks focused on one thing, especially when they're on a sucky team. I want one thing. You know what it is? Play better. Trevor Lawrence was the top pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars just over a year ago and had himself a rookie campaign that was threw for about 3,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Obviously, he was not playing on the greatest roster. Got a new head coach in Doug Peterson now. Chaotic, turmoil sort of situation in Jacksonville last year. Head coaching problems, obviously, plaguing that organization. But when I open up my NFL news and the headline I get on Trevor Lawrence is custom-made Gatorade bottles that he's creating, I shake my head and I say, is this the guy to lead my organization in the most important position on the field? You know what other headline I saw yesterday? Justin Herbert trying to get more accurate, trying to be more consistent game to game. You know what other headline I saw the other day? Josh Allen working to get better at his craft. And I've got Trevor Lawrence with those beautiful flowing locks. Jealous, I don't have that much hair. I've got Trevor Lawrence shilling for Gatorade and creating bottles for them. You know what I want you to create? More completions. You know what I want you to create? More touchdowns. You know what I want you to create? More victories. You know what I want you to create? More leadership on the field. I don't need you creating Gatorade bottles for me. Well, Trevor Lawrence worked with Paige Beckers and Fernando Tatis Jr. to create the first ever multi-athlete bottle collection. Well, I'm sure that Jaguar fans are just thrilled with that. And Shad Khan. And Doug Peterson. I'm sure this is the stuff that legendary quarterbacks are made of. And this is the problem. And it's part of the problem with sports today. Athletes want to spread their wings in other areas. And that's fine if you're 5-6 years in the league and you're winning football games and making it to the playoffs. This is a Jaguars organization that's on the verge of uprooting and going to London because Jacksonville doesn't want it anymore. In the Urban Meyer debacle last year, already had fans sour on this organization, so they go get Doug Peterson, who's obviously a very accomplished, good head coach. Super Bowl winner. But he's coming to a team, and instead of a quarterback that should be busting his ass in the film room, in the weight room, on the practice field, I'm literally looking at a picture of him holding a Gatorade bottle right now. And what a beautiful bottle it is. It's what you get with the number one pick. Where's his focus? Gatorade bottles. All right, I got some odds and ends I want to tie up. Quick timeout, we'll come back, finish it up. I don't know if I'll be able to get to the live golf stuff. I do have a thought on Aaron Judge to get to. We'll do that as we continue. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me on this Wednesday. All right, don't mind me. I'm Jason Page on this Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. Make sure to like us on YouTube if you're watching the video. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Decibel 88. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, courtesy of Believe, B-L-E-A-V. B-L-E-A-V, I've been with them going back a few years, and they really do a great job in the podcasting realm. And just so many great podcasts from Believe. Go and check them out. That's B-L-E-A-V. I'm going to hold the golf stuff till tomorrow because God knows we've given enough oxygen to the PGA Tour Live Golf battle. Couple things real quick. Be careful betting on yourself, and especially in baseball, especially when you're talking about an Aaron Judge who's playing in center field for the New York Yankees for 145 to 150 games this year if he stays healthy. Because that is the point, health. He's having this monster year. Could and should get $40 million in his next contract per year. Be the highest paid position player in baseball. He should be, given what he's doing right now. That being said, see what happened to Bryce Harper the other day? Got hit in the thumb by a pitch. Out at least 6 weeks because of, I believe, a fractured thumb. And it could be longer than that. That's all it takes in a contract year for this whole thing of Aaron Judge's, this whole plan of betting on himself, to get blown up. That's all it takes. One hit pitch. One hit batter being Aaron Judge. One dive for a ball. One running into the wall the wrong way. Be very careful if you're Aaron Judge. And Yankee fans want him to play hard and run out everything every day. The reality is, I don't think he can play that way in a contract year if you're putting up the kind of numbers he is at the near midway point of the season. By the way, the Yankees won yesterday. I think they're now 50 and 25, something like that. I don't have the latest standings in front of me. What's the Yankees record? Can I pull that up real quick? Hold on. Yankees after the win yesterday. Yeah, 55 and 20, sorry. 55 and 20. I think it's the third best start through 75 games in Major League Baseball history. They'll look to complete a sweep of the Oakland Athletics today. By the time you listen to this, the game will probably be over, especially if you're listening to the podcast. Let me finish with this. I know I'm running a little long today, but that's all right. It's my show. I can. Not everything is entertainment. I have often said that the days that we live in, oh, God, this is going to be moralizing in a terrible way, but I'll do it anyway. I think we've had such a decline in sort of the norms of society, the social norms, what we find acceptable. I have often said, if somebody put live death penalty executions on TV, it'd do huge numbers. And there'd be some advertising exec going, see, we need more executions on TV. That guy that murdered that little girl, yeah, we need to execute him on TV. Look at all the people that'll watch. And we'll even give some of the money and the proceeds to the family. I guarantee you, if you put live executions on TV, there would be a couple of million people that would want to watch the guy foaming at the mouth as he's electrocuted. I promise you there would be. So whenever people point to ratings as a justification or a logic for doing something, I always say, well, you know, if a laugh track on the evening news made it more entertaining, would you do it? Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell have signed contracts for a heavyweight boxing exhibition on July 30th at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Boxing is serious business. And I know people say, oh, it's an exhibition, they're going to take it easy on themselves. Go ask Nate Robinson how it worked out as an exhibition when he got his brains beaten in a year or two ago in one of these exhibitions. I think it was on one of the, like, Jake Paul undercards or something like that. This should not be happening. Just because something might be entertaining to a small, tiny subsection of our population in this country and around the world doesn't mean it's a good idea. Frank Gore recently did one of these exhibition fights. And all it's going to take, you know what it's going to take for these things to not happen? Somebody's got to get killed or maimed. And it's sad, but that's the reactive world we live in. Not everything is entertaining. That's how we wrap up this Wednesday edition of Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. Thanks for spending an hour or less with me, depending if you're watching or listening. If you haven't subscribed to our Decibel 88 YouTube channel, do it. If you liked what you saw, click the thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast courtesy of Believe on every major podcasting platform, do so now. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern, live on YouTube, and then shortly thereafter on those podcasting platforms courtesy of Believe, the Don't Mind Me podcast and show. I'm Jason Page. Thanks for being with us. We'll catch you back here on Thursday. See ya.